Perfect. Hi, hello everybody, and welcome into another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. It's Monday, you know what that means. This one titled Episode 50, titled Children of the Corn. That's right, 50 episodes. 50 doggone episodes already with this casting crew, and I'm proud to be a part of it. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and I don't do it alone, so let's bring him on in here. Let's start with the man that created all this madness, at least this version of it, this incarnation, this hybrid of it, if you will. Let's bring him in, my favorite Canadian for the next hour or so, and yours. And my God, did he put down a burrito right before the show like a man's man. Adam Canadian Carbine, come on in here.
Hello, yes, don't out me for my burrito eating just before the show. I had a very limited time to get some food in before we start. I just wanted to make sure I had the energy, bring in the heat today. So happy 50th to you there, Logan.
Happy 50th. Wonderful, wonderful. Glad to have done it.
Yeah.
I think we got 50 more in us. What say you?
I think we could. Yeah, sure. We'll ask the viewing public if they'd like to see us 50 more times or not, but hopefully the answer is yes.
We might have another 100 in us. Who knows what might happen? So
okay, we'll see.
We'll see what happens. We're not doing it even alone ourselves. Let's bring in the producer of this whole thing for 50 episodes. Well, 45 or so. She's produced this thing and then kept us in check. Let's bring her in. She's the best looking woman on this dais, and she's got to be a happy camper. Let's bring her in. Ryan Blaney's biggest fan, producer Peggy. How are you?
I'm elated.
You should really tell your face.
50th time, baby. Thanks, yes, Freddie.
Sir. Thank you, Freddie, for tuning in. We appreciate you. 50, and yeah, look, we're going to give you 50 more. We're going to give you 150 more. We might give you 200 more. Who knows what might happen? Never say never. Actually, I think we're going to be doing this for quite a long time. You want to know the truth? And wait a minute, I'm leaving somebody out, doggone it. It is the 50th episode. It is the Children of the Corn. It is a special little deal. He's home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's bring him in. The open wheel guru himself, the best man, the greatest coiffed hair I've ever seen, and yours. Let's bring him on in here. Mr. USA Today, I'm talking about New Hampshire. Colin Best, come on in here.
Hey, guys.
There he is.
Welcome home, Colin. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I'm having a better month than Kyle Busch is having. He's having a pretty bad month. I got to be honest with you. Past 29 days for him, started getting punched by Ricky Stenhouse Jr. And then last night, completely crapped the bed again. So, doing way better. Glad to be back. I missed the Indy 500. I missed a lot. But, hey, we got some IndyCar racing coming up this weekend. So, we'll talk about it.
Yes, we will. Good to have you. Peggy, you seem to have been speechless. So I want to give you a chance for some more words before we jump into a big time.
I mean, what can you say? He, all 1,000 of his family members were there.
Oh, yeah, they talked about it.
And
I didn't see you there as his future wife.
Yeah, it's you there. How dare you?
She would leave me in a heartbeat, ladies and gentlemen.
No rings on these fingers.
Wait a minute. Where's the ring? Logan, what's going on over there?
Well, we're going to find out together live on the 50th episode of Race Refresh Happy Hour.
I do have this one, but I mean...
Did you take it off when Ryan Blaney won?
It's just a thing that I keep sometimes. Logan gave it to me once.
One time.
It's
been great getting embarrassed here on the 50th episode.
Wow.
It's just there.
Jack's looking at the equivalent of a promise ring, for God's sake.
My goodness.
All right.
Shall we move on before it gets too bad?
This is getting tough.
Contention. All right.
You go find your ring and your priorities, Peter, and we're going to talk a little racing. So with that, it's time to whoever's going to hit the ball into it. Time for our weekend review. I don't know who did the clicking, but y'all were on top of it. Let's get her done. Let's get into it. 50th episode. Let's talk some racing. Sam Mayer gets it done for Junior Motorsports in the Xfinity race at wherever the hell we were last night. Iowa. Good Lord. I'm sorry, folks. I'm hot. It's hotter than a hoochie coochie, as old Alan Jackson would say. You ever heard that tune, Adam?
I have not. No.
You thought I was being dirty. No, that's really a lyric. That's an Alan Jackson country song.
You'll sing it to me later.
Yeah. Oh, I'll send you the lyrics. All right. So Sam Mayer got it done in the Xfinity series. Adam, I'm gonna come to you. Did you have a chance to watch this one? If you did, what'd you think? If you didn't, still, what do you think about Sam Mayer getting it done?
I did not get a chance to watch this. Uh-huh. I'm still almost a little bit in recovery after my trip down to Sonoma. I'm actually getting over a little bit of a cold, but I did hear there was some drama with Sam Mayer, and I believe Riley Herbst was involved. Is that right? I don't know. Sam Mayer sometimes rubs people the wrong way. I can't say I disagree with that. So I don't know. I didn't actually see what happened. You'll have to fill us in. What did Sam Mayer do?
Well, they just had issues with Riley Herbst. And frankly, I'm not going to, let me be as respectful as I can, but also be blunt. Colin, would you agree with me that Sam Mayer and Riley Herbst are two of the more unlikable personalities in the Xfinity series?
I think Sam Mayer has a chip on his shoulder, but I don't think he's unlikable. He's not. I don't think he's reached the heights of unlikable that Austin Hill has achieved over the past 2 years or so, but he's certainly getting there. But I have no problems. I have no quaffs with
no quaffs
with Sam Mayer.
No quaffs.
It's because he's wearing a hat. We can't see his beautifully coiffed hair.
Well, hold on. Right.
You're allowed to wear a hat on this show. It's okay.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Still looking good, though.
That's big league. All right. So Sam Mayer got it done. Yeah, they had issues, but I think it was overblown. I thought it was just hard racing. I like the fact that we're seeing some rivalries develop in the Xfinity series, because let's be honest, and Colin, I'll come to you on this. Doesn't the Xfinity series need some rivalries? We've seen Austin Hill and SVG and Austin Hill and the rest of the field. And now Riley Herbst and Sam Mayer, I think this is good for the Xfinity series. That they need a little kind of pub, a little pizzazz to talk about. What say you?
Oh yeah, it certainly puts butts in seats and certainly brings eyeballs to the TV screen when there's some sort of drama. But I honestly think that the headlines over the past 2 weeks with SVG doing the burnout in front of Austin Hill, and then we're getting this. I mean, we've had two back-to-back weeks where the next race after this, I think it's where we go on, New Hampshire, will certainly be a race that everyone's going to tune in. Most people are going to tune into see what's going on. But certainly, I have nothing wrong with what happened. And I honestly think, you know, Sam Mayer did what it took to win the race. And, you know, I don't have a problem with what he did. Certainly for him, he's still a young guy. He's still somewhat sort of inexperienced and probably doesn't know the ropes quite like maybe like Justin Allgaier or somebody like that. But certainly, you know, when it comes down to it, the fat lady sings only once at a racetrack, and there's only one lap that pays. And when you have, if you're in the position to take that lap as the first person across the line, then by godly, go ahead and do it.
You do what you got to do, and you throw it over your shoulder, and you let it eat. Put the skinny pedal down. Amen to that. I'm agreeing. Let's move on to the Cup race, where Ryan Blaney got it done on the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol. How about that? I got it all in there. That was well done, wasn't it, boys? So Ryan Blaney wins the inaugural Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol. And you look... It looked like early on it was going to be Kyle Larson's race to lose. I'm not saying he was going to win. It looked like it was going to be his race to lose. He had issues and had a toe link problem. They did fix it and get him back on the track, but the day was a wash as far as a good finish goes. Adam, what were your overarching thoughts? Ryan Blaney gets it done. Kyle Larson has a day, kind of go up in smoke, for lack of a better term. What said you?
Yeah, Daniel Suarez said no, amigo, to Kyle Larson, and Larson went around, and that was the end of his day. But clearly, like, whatever is going on at the five team, like, they're very good. You know, I know that's, like, not groundbreaking to say, but, like, clearly his car was insanely better than everyone else's, and I don't really understand how. I wonder what sort of cheating is going on there. I know Freddie says, I didn't know if Blaney's tires were going to hold up because of all the different drivers that had tire problems. Yeah, we were going to talk about that too. Like, seemed like there were a bunch of tire issues through like practice and qualifying through the weekend, but then the race came and I guess crew chiefs settled down on some of their setups and all that. So it didn't prove to be as big of a problem, but yeah, Kyle Larson, what are they doing over in that camp there? And just, I don't know if you saw when I can't remember why he got stuck in the back of the field and he just drove right back up to the front. Just, there was no issue. It was like everyone, he was on like easy mode on the video game and everyone else was just like having a rough go. So yeah, I mean, as much as they can probably be upset that they didn't finish well, didn't have a great finish because of the spin and all that, they got to feel confident about their chances at a championship this year, just based on setups alone and how that's been going. Right.
I agreed. I want to ask you one more question before we kick it to the best man. There was a partial repave at Iowa. And what'd you think of that? Should they have done the whole thing? Should they not have done it at all? Cause they picked the old in-betweener.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. That's like, I don't understand how they just thought, oh, you know what? Looks good enough for now. Maybe we'll do the rest later. I did read something about how they ran out of time before the winter came, and I guess they get a lot of snow there. I don't know. And they couldn't continue the work until the spring, and then they didn't want to do it in the spring. I don't know. But yeah, you do it all or you don't do it at all. And honestly, a lot of drivers were being asked about that in Sonoma when I was there. Christopher Bell was quite vocal about it, saying like, this is ridiculous. Like, why would they bother doing that if they're not going to do the whole thing? And so, yeah, it turned out okay in the end, because at least they were the two grooves that you could race on. But yeah, if this was fully paved, you might have seen, you know, grooves all over the track that people could have raced on, and that might have made the product even better than it was. So I don't know. Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous to me. I feel like better planning could have been done there.
Ain't nothing like Mr. In Between. Freddie, let us know. You want Iowa back on the schedule? Let us know in the comments. Anybody, do you want Iowa back on the schedule in 2025? What were your thoughts? All right, Kyle, let me come to you. Ryan Blaney won the inaugural Iowa Corn 350, powered by ethanol. And so let me ask you, what'd you think of the partial repave? What'd you think of the inaugural race? Give me some overarching thoughts. You have the floor, best man.
All the fears that we had going into this race, sort of being a one-lane racetrack, and, you know, we weren't going to see a lot of passing, those didn't really materialize over the past, over the 350 laps we watched this race. I was certainly entertained throughout. It's sort of like this mix where it's sort of a short track because it's less than a mile, but because of the banking and it's 7/8 of a mile, it races like an intermediate. So you kind of get the best of both worlds. So the racing that we usually see at short tracks in the NASCAR Cup Series, we didn't really see that. And I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish. People could race side by side. Sometimes they were three wide. Now, I don't probably like how they repaved it. There was, I think Bubba Wallace said is how they repaved it into the start finish, the restart zone. And that could have led to some issues. And we didn't really see the top lane get the advantage with the longer strip of new asphalt than we saw the bottom lane. So we didn't really see any of those issues. But certainly I think when this track does get repaved, probably over the next couple months, certainly after when IndyCar goes there, I believe later or early mid-July is when IndyCar is slated to go to Iowa. I think we're going to see an entirely different race, a track where it's going to be much faster and tires probably next year will be a concern. But I think this calendar, this track definitely deserves a date on the NASCAR Cup Series calendar. It's been, this is what Rusty Wallace and everyone who's been invested into Iowa Speedway has been clamoring for so long. And we had a sold out crowd at Iowa. It's certainly great to see sellout crowds in this economy. So to be honest with you, this should stay on the schedule as long as it provides good racing.
Absolutely. I'm inclined to agree. Freddie says he'd take Iowa back on the 2025 tour. The place was packed. It's good to have a race in the Midwest. I agree with you. Look, let's we're children of the corn this time, but we can be the track of dreams. No big deal. We can get it done. Ryan Hill tuning in. How's it going, guys? Congrats on episode 50. Ryan, good to see you, and thanks for subbing in for Colin last week. It was a lot of fun to have you. Let's get you back on here in a couple weeks. I know he enjoyed it, and maybe you can get the Adam and Colin experience. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
Well, it's a personality. Wouldn't that be?
I want to add one other thing. Sorry about that repave. Like,
it's your show.
If they go back now, I mean, obviously they're going to finish paving it. But now, is that going to make the new stuff now is going to be basically a year newer than the new stuff, if that makes sense. I'm not explaining that very well, but they've repaved half of it and they're running races on it. And then they're going to repave the top half of the track that they didn't do. And that's going to be even newer than this stuff, which is now going to have aged basically a year by the time they get to it. They almost have to redo the entire thing altogether so that it is uniform throughout the entire track. I don't know that. I feel like I'm not explaining it well, but if anyone understands, I'm going to shut up.
Look, no, it is primed to potentially be a cluster muck. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. They're primed to be the anonymous rhino of NASCAR. No doubt about that at all. It's going to be an odd scene. If they do those things, I think there's a lot of question marks because it put on such a pretty good show. I thought, I mean, overall, yeah, the reviews have been quite positive. Now, it might help that our baseline was a little low. We thought it was going to be a cluster muck, but it wasn't. It was a lot of fun, and I thought it had just the right amount of chaos, but nothing to the point of asinine or, you know, absurd. And so I don't know what that means for the future of it, because when you have something go good, do you want to mess with it? It's a great question on what they're going to do. Yeah, there were tire issues to the weekend, but not so much during the race, and that's a good thing. And let's talk Kyle Busch. Let's talk Kyle Busch. Ryan, we will let you know. We'll figure it out. I'll talk to the bosses that be. His name is Adam Carey. And we'll talk about it.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
He liked Iowa. Love to see you stay on the schedule. Joey Logano had a good run. Penske, good for your boys. Look, Vance Auto Parts there in Victory Lane. I'm sure the producer Peggy behind the scenes is currently swooning over a. How you doing?
There she is.
I heard a rumor we were allowed to wear hats on this show.
There you go. Yeah.
We are in fact allowed to wear hats on this show. Yes.
Look for my hat.
There we go. Logan, what are you doing? We're missing the hat from you.
Hold on. Don't worry about it. I'm fine, boys. It's Ain't no mistake about it. If you need a hat, I got you right here. Come on now. Let me get her straightened up.
There. This is a part of an inside joke. All of is this. It? Yeah. Oh, no. We got a NASCAR. We got a NASCAR hat. We got a Ryan Blaney hat. We got another NASCAR hat, and we got a baseball hat. So, yeah.
There you go.
Hey.
But I have my NASCAR polo. So.
There you go. Nice. Yeah. I meant to put on my new Martin Truex Jr. shirt that I got while I was in Sonoma, but I forgot. So
hold on. Let me ask you a question. And Peggy, you got to stay for this. Are you telling me that you rolled up as a media member and said, let me get that MTJ shirt?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't advertise that I was media when I bought it, but
did you put the credential away? I want you to tell me how that worked.
I was still wearing it, but I just kind of, just went and did it quick, and you got to do what you got to do.
You know what?
We are fans first.
Amen to that. And some say that's a problem. And I say, no, you can check your fandom at the door, but you can be a fan. Isn't that right, Colin?
What?
We lost him.
He's watching the Euro. Ryan says the baseball hatters had to beat the game of Phillies this weekend. Matt Nicholson says, all hell the king. You ain't a kidding, brother. Yes, sir. Matt Nicholson, come on in here.
I wish I could all hail the king, but, Eric Jones cut a tire, and, he didn't perform really well.
Colin, I don't know. Colin, I don't need that negativity. I have missed you dearly, but I haven't missed you undercutting me at the knees.
I don't know. Legacy Motor Club still sucks, to be honest with you.
Has anyone noticed in the pictures?
This is such
Pictures that they're
off the rails.
I'm gonna say this and I'll leave again. In the pictures that they post when Legacy Motor Club qualifies, poor John Hunter Nemechek looks like he is being held hostage.
I haven't seen it. I don't know.
It's like you better do something.
He just looks so scared every time.
Well, yeah, when he's driving for an underfunded Toyota team, I would be scared too. Look, if the Florida school of the deaf and blind can fill the race car faster than Legacy Motor Club is right now.
What in the hell is going on this show?
Haley Deegan's poor ass crew chief could probably make a better car than.
Oh, crap. I mean,
can I just say something? Okay, now we're fully going off the rails. You remember that music video with Luke Combs that came out, No Love in Oklahoma? It was a great song, and John Hunter Nemechek was in it. Yeah. But he's holding a damn poppy can, the soda that makes you poo, like this. Like this. He's holding it like this. He's not holding it like this. Holding it like this. And I'm blurring out the sponsor because you can't – we don't get advertising here, obviously. But if we did – It's a Southern original.
This is yes, Matt, that is Nicholson's music, or that is Bester's music, and I'm sick of it. Turn it off. Turn it off.
Back on, it's Bester's music.
Because that negativity on Legacy Motor Club, look, I don't need that right now. We have a show to do.
Hold on. He just looks so terrified every time.
This one was particularly sad, I thought. Maybe just skip the social media post. Was when they were at Sonoma and they qualified last and second to last.
What is happening here?
Happy
50th. It's the 50th episode.
Ricky Stenhouse Jr. is higher in points than Eric Jones and John Hunter Nemechek right now. Ricky Stenhouse. I throw right hand Stenhouse Jr.
You know what?
It's higher.
He had a great run in Iowa.
Matt, fifth. Matt, Freddie, Ryan, help me for the love of God. Help me. Anybody.
Combined stats Legacy Motor Club, last place university. Three top fives, three top tens combined.
Colin, are you busy next week? I don't know. Covering a town hall? I hope so.
I don't know. Let me check my schedule.
Ryan Blaney had a, and you picked him in fantasy, I think, didn't you, Matt? So yeah, Ryan Blaney had a good week. For God's sake, can we talk about anybody but Legacy Motor Club right now?
Let's talk Kyle Busch. You tried to start talking Kyle Busch, and we got distracted.
We don't have the time anymore. We don't have the time. We're going to talk happy hour headlines.
Thanks. Isn't that just Kyle Busch's luck?
Yeah. Yeah, isn't it just Kyle Busch another week?
Hit a button. Hit a button. Yes, here, Matt. They did sign a new sponsor. Oh, Peter's going. Hey, hi, Peggy back there. All right.
The mental health awareness thing, because if you're a fan of Legacy Motor Club, you need to see a therapist on Monday.
No, we just wait till the end for this, and we look forward to the next week. All right, let's talk happy hour headlines. Let's show a little respect for this very big topic. Matt, I want your thoughts. Freddie, I want your thoughts. Freddie says Eric Jones wins Daytona. See, Freddie is a friend in need, all right? Freddie is there. You know, winter, spring, summer, fall, all I got to do is call, and Freddie's going to be there. And you know that classic song, don't you, Adam?
I sure do.
And we're gonna get 16 winners. Eric Jones is going to win that race, and he's still not going to advance into the playoffs.
You're going to make me say things that are going to ruin my career. All right.
They're going to have to pass Austin Cindric for that to happen, and I don't know if that's
possible. Stop it. All right. Well, seriously though, let's take it a little serious for half a moment, because Martin Truex Jr. Friday evening, depending on your persuasion of when afternoon and evening start, announced that he will not be back full time for Joe Gibbs Racing next year. He will be vacating the 19 car. I watched the presser. It sounds to me like he's very possibly going to be kind of the Richard Petty of Joe Gibbs Racing if he agrees to a deal. It sure sounded like he's going to be a team ambassador, do some racing, be around, but he's just very fatigued on having his schedule set for him like 38 to 40 weeks out of the year. And frankly, when you've been doing it as long as MTJ has, can't blame you. Obviously, you know, we've made a lot of fun at my fandom for some reason here on the 50th episode, but Adam, the man that kind of helped you fall in love with the sport and who you're a big fan of is Martin Truex Jr. So I want to come to you and get your thoughts.
Yeah. You know, it's in some ways it's sad, just cause I am somewhat of a newer fan to NASCAR and he's my favorite driver that I've had since the start. The first real race that I watched was the Coca-Cola 600 in 2019 and he won it. And I kind of just, fell in love with him as a driver at that point. And it's been a good ride ever since. So part of me is sad that I won't be seeing him in the 19 every week, but, the other part of me is happy for him. I know, it seems like part of him has been checked out a little bit. And I know he loves going fishing and hunting and all that. And NASCAR at times feels like it's taken away from his hobbies, which is a shame. So I don't think it's the last we'll see of him. I know he left the door open to come back on a part-time basis or run the occasional race. I know, I think just recently Denny Hamlin announced that he was free to run any race he wants with 2311. So I think he'll be back for sure. I know he wants to get that Daytona 500 win, or even just any super speedway win. I know he's been so close so many times, but hasn't got one yet. So that's definitely on his bucket list. But yeah, I think he's a great person to be an ambassador for Joe Gibbs Racing. He's got a great kind of low key personality. He's not in your face. And aside from last week, doesn't ruffle too many feathers. So, I don't know. Part of me is sad that I won't see him as often as I like, but I'm also just happy for him. I think, it's a well-deserved retirement and it's cool to be able to kind of go out when you're still a competitive car each week. So good for him.
No, absolutely. He is not, Freddie says, wouldn't be surprised if Truex runs the Daytona 500 in a 2311 car. I think it's very possible, you know, even when you win Daytona 500s, even when you win Daytona 500s, there's always that itch for more. Look at Jimmy Johnson, who's got plenty to his resume, but guess what? He's already said that if he can find a sponsor for next year, he'll run the Daytona 500 again, because it is the creme de la creme of our industry as far as NASCAR goes. How many Daytona 500s do you need? The answer is more.
Well, I mean, that's a hell of a payday, too.
Yeah, right. So. It is our Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. And obviously, everybody watching this show knows that. But I mean, people kind of wonder, well, why would you keep chasing that dream? Because there's just nothing like Daytona. There's just nothing on this planet like Daytona. And that's no disrespect to those that beloved Talladega. Matt, I'm talking to you. Matt says him and Bobby Labonte will be good ambassador. Doubt he runs many races next year, if any. Matt, I was watching the pre-race for NBC Sunday, and we're going to talk about their broadcast. But, you know, I believe it was Marty Snyder. Sweet home Alabama. All right. I believe it was Marty Snyder who did the interview with Martin right before they kind of, you know, did the pre-race ceremonies. And he asked, you know, what's the ideal kind of schedule for you? And, you know, Martin didn't know. You could tell it was kind of on the spot, but he said, I don't know, maybe 10 races next year.
Oh, wow.
So, I missed that. Yeah. And so I think we will see him a fair amount. I don't know if we see him in the Cup series. You know, he joked about, you know, running Xfinity cars for Coach Gibbs if he gets bored. And so I think we'll see him a fair amount. I think there's a great chance we see him at Daytona. I really do. And, you know, maybe other crown jewels, you know, it's possible. But I do think there's a great chance we see him at Daytona. So maybe you can fire up and buy your Martin Truex one-off 2311 shirt, Adam. but Colin, I want to come to you. Martin Truex calling it a career, at least on a full-time basis, after 2024. What are your thoughts, and who's your lead candidate to get in the 19 car, assuming they don't rebrand it like they did Kyle Busch?
This has been a long time coming, and we've been talking about this for years, when Martin Truex Jr. would finally hang it up, and this has been the year, so congrats to him for a great career. You know, he's a two-time Xfinity Series champion, a Cup champion, probably the most dominating win in NASCAR Cup Series history with that Coke 600 win. Certainly, I think a Hall of Fame career for Martin Truex Jr. As who fills that seat, man, that's a very good question, because there are currently four drivers and one Ford team who are currently looking for a new ride. And one of them, actually two of them, come with their own sponsors, with Chase Briscoe with High Point, and then Noah Gregson has his relationship with Bass Pro Shops, which is a relationship that Joe Gibbs has. So I would probably be looking at towards Noah Gregson or Chase Briscoe to fill that final seat with Toyota. But, you know, Corey Heim is also on the discussion too, because Toyota loves him as well. So would it be great to get an established brand like Gregson or Briscoe into your seat? Absolutely. But wouldn't it be nice to also call up a rookie like Corey Heim to the NASCAR Cup Series? Absolutely. So wherever Joe Gibbs decides to go, he has three great options on the table right now, and I don't think he can go wrong with any one of them.
Matt Nicholson dropping a hot take in the comments. He's going to run an LMC car because he thinks Heim's going to be in a third 2311 car. Could we see the day where Martin Truex Jr. takes a nice promo picture with the king? Oh, let's get it done. Adam, are you ready for that? Let's have a party.
Whew, I'm not sure I'm ready to agree with you on something that strongly.
That's hot. That's hot, hot, hot. That's hot.
Have this comment earlier, too. Freddie did say it wouldn't surprise him if Noah Gregson gets the 19 car next year.
So Freddie and Colin, great minds think alike. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think Chase Briscoe is probably the lead candidate. You have to look at Eric Jones. I think he has a relationship with Gibbs, and it was more sponsorship based than it was your results aren't good enough. I think that's possible. And let's be honest, you know, I know we've made a lot of facetious jokes here about Legacy Motor Club during this episode, but it's not going well for Legacy Motor Club right now. And maybe hypothetically, and I'm not saying I want this, but maybe that relationship is begun to run its course. Sometimes you kind of plateau as a driver team combination, and you have to wonder if that Jones boy and Legacy Motor Club are there. We obviously have a long season still ahead of us, 19 races, I believe, to go. But right now, you have to wonder that. So I think Jones is a candidate with the relationship with Gibbs. And again, it wasn't any personal issue. It was Jones never has brought a lot of funding as far as his own personal. And so if you can, you know, if you can kind of parlay that, and he'd be a good candidate because you already kind of know how it works. Matt Nicholson says, although he hasn't had a good run with SHR, Ryan Preece does have a good relationship with JGR in the past. Yeah, it's, I mean, this is going to be one of the, we feel like we say this every year in recent years, but this is going to be one of the more wild, silly seasons I think we've ever seen. I know that pretty much ever since COVID or even before that, we've been saying that every year, but this is another one that is primed for changes. I mean, yeah, it's pretty incredible. Adam, I'm going to give you the last word on the Martin Truex replacement topic for obvious reasons. You think it's Chase Briscoe? You think it's Eddie Jones? Anybody, you know, Corey Heim? Is there somebody else that it could be? You know, there was a time where it seemed like it was kind of already written in stone that it was going to be John Hunter Nemechek, but that rumor has kind of went by the wayside given John Hunter's struggles with legacy. But again, is that John Hunter struggles or is that legacy struggles? What's your take on who replaces Truex in the 19?
I'm hearing some rumblings, you know, I'm hearing, hearing some scuttlebutt out on the,
out in there.
And, let's just say I won't be surprised to see Chase Briscoe in the 19 next year.
All right. So you'll
leave it at that.
So you're thinking Chase Briscoe is the lead candidate who until this broke was probably the lead candidate to take over the 21 for the Wood brothers. Cause remember Harrison Burton is at the very least on the hot seat right now. Again, this is a wild silly season. Josh Berry, Noah Gregson, Ryan Preece, Chase Briscoe, potentially Harrison Burton, Noah Gregson, and a lot of people looking for jobs. I mean, this is, we're gonna spin the wheel we go. All right, so Iowa marked the transition into the NBC/USA Network portion of the broadcast season. And I got to tell you, guys, I thought it was such a breath of fresh air. Colin, I'm going to start with you on this. I thought it was just, I think that some of the commercial stuff is a little overblown for Fox. I know it gets frustrating. I know we live in a world where commercials are a dying business or dying quail. But I think some of it gets a little overblown. But I will say this 100%, as far as the camera angles and the shots and all that, NBC was a wonderful breath of fresh air. What'd you think of the NBC portion getting started? What'd you think of No Dell Jr.? Give me your thoughts.
The addition, the subtraction of Dell Jr. was certainly one of the, probably the most notable things that you could have seen throughout the entire broadcast. But I do agree, it was a breath of fresh air to see someone make a midsummer event. And Fox, you know, they've had midsummer events. We just went through Sonoma and Gateway, but NBC made that race at Iowa feel very, very special. And that was obviously a very hard thing to do because obviously the hype around a new track, but again, we're in the middle of June. We're starting to enter the dog days of summer. We're starting to reach a lull in traditional NASCAR series, you know, viewership over the year. But to make it feel like such a big event, such a can't-miss spectacle, was really something to behold. You saw the double boxes. You saw zoomed-out shots where you can see more of the action. The only time it ever got to, like, Fox levels of what you would see on TV is as we're approaching the final laps. But, you know, there was 80 people in the stands waiting to see Ryan Blaney. It was his family, so I feel like that's fair. But certainly I think that and you see it with now NBC's IndyCar coverage, they take it seriously. And, you know, the commercial breaks didn't feel like such a drag. Sometimes they went to side-by-side more frequently, which I love. I think Adam has numbers on the commercial breakdown, but certainly it felt like we saw a lot more green flag action as opposed to just commercials on our TV screens.
Couple of comments to get to, and then I'm going to come to you, Mr. Carabine. Matt Nicholson's race one, NBC obliterated the entire Fox season, and he said the stage two embedding of the cruise was really good in his opinion. I have to agree. Look, the only thing I'm going to miss about Fox is I'm a Mike Joyce stan. I think he is just the epitome of the right blend of excitement and kind of dialing it back where I feel like everybody else has some. And again, it's because I'm comparing them to Mike Joy, right? It's, I mean, it's like, you know, it's comparing apples to a cheeseburger. It's not really the same thing. So, I mean, Mike Joy is an icon among icons. He's my generation's Ken Squire. And so it's a tough comparison, but yeah, other than Mike Joy, and this is no disrespect to the Fox crew truly, cause they do bust their ass and they're doing the best they can. And as much as we gripe and we have our rights to gripe, don't get me wrong, it could be a lot worse. And you say, well, how or why? Go watch a lesser funded series and try it. I'm just saying, and Adam, you and I have tinkered with a lesser funded series, trying to, you know, follow it and cover it for our website, racingrefresh.com. It can be a difficult watch that makes Fox look like they are NBC. So again, I think sometimes we get a little spoiled. All right, Adam, I want to come to you. The NBC portion of the broadcast began. No Dell Jr., but I'll tell you what, I didn't miss him that much. And that isn't a cut on Dell Jr. Big fan of him as a broadcaster. I think he brings a lot of energy. But I thought Jeff Burton was a great blend of energy and analysis. And I liked the cut to Brad Daugherty and Dell Jarrett. I just, breath of fresh air is a worn-out phrase this week for that, but it was. And it was just so great for the I mean, you forget the playoffs almost exist on Fox. And I know they don't cover it on their portion of the year. But still, by the time we hit Sonoma, let's talk about it. Because, I mean, we're starting to kind of hit the home stretch. What were your thoughts on the NBC portion? We got a full-fledged post-race show. We got kind of a just a half-hour pre-race, but nothing wrong with that. What were your thoughts?
I will say us Canadians got cut off a little bit on the post-race show. We didn't have much of that, but it's nice to know that they were offering it at least. I did want to point out, I know people make fun of the cartoon character versions of the drivers on the Fox portion. I saw this circulating out there. This was a little screenshot. They might want to get some new pictures for these drivers as well. Yeah. This is the NBC one now, so whew, it's a little rough. Anyways, I was just looking. So Jayski each week posts a commercial breakdown, and I was curious just to get a sense of the first week of NBC compared to the last week of Fox, which was Sonoma. Now, admittedly, I didn't watch the TV broadcast of Sonoma because I was there, but there's a real stark difference. I know you were saying there's not a whole lot to be made out of the commercial issue, but I don't know.
I think it's overblown. I really do. I think it's overblown.
You might change your mind after you hear this.
I doubt it. I usually think I'm right.
I know. Well, the Sonoma broadcast was an entirely 197 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Iowa broadcast was 187 minutes. So 10 minutes shorter.
Sure.
Now the number of minutes that were broadcast of the race for Sonoma was 157. So you basically, 157. Now for a shorter race at Iowa, the number of minutes of the race broadcast was 171. So they had some quick math here, 15 more minutes or so, 16 more minutes of race on TV with no commercials for NBC. I don't know if that's just like smarter planning around where they put their commercial breaks. I understand sometimes cautions come into factor and, you know, you get maybe luckier with where the cautions fall. The minutes of traditional commercials, that is like not side by side, just complete regular commercials, full screen, 28 minutes at Iowa compared to 40 minutes at Sonoma.
I would be, you're right. That does, I still think it's a little overblown, but definitely that does put it in better perspective. I would be curious to compare the Iowa numbers to an FS1 race because obviously Fox, you're going to pay a little more for the advertisements.
Right.
Just kind of curious. I'm not saying they don't have too many commercials. I'm just saying, like, my God, what a spoiled generation we are. When we're like, oh my God, it's another commercial.
Fair enough. Yeah. Like,
y'all would have hated watching Dragon Ball Z back in the day. And so, Yeah, like I said, I just think it's a little overblown and a little kind of spoiled child syndrome these days.
Was Gateway on FS1?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, so their race was 188 minutes, so that's 1 minute more than the Iowa race. And yeah, Iowa's minutes of race broadcast was 171, and Gateway was 148.
Damn, I mean, that's yeah. All right, okay. Can't argue with the data. All right, so Colin, I'm going to come to you. IndyCar to Fox in 2025. Indy, you know, in my world, I'm like Indy NXT to FS1. What are your thoughts? All practices FS1 to going to Fox. We've made a lot of hubbub about Fox isn't the quality it used to be. Give me some thoughts.
Well, you'll actually be surprised. A lot of people were like on social media, and you probably saw it as, oh my God, we're going to have really bad broadcasting with Fox. Now, the inverse of that is IMS, IndyCar, Penske Entertainment, does it like F1. They produce all of their races. So every camera feed that you see that. That's Penske Entertainment running the show. NBC just carries pretty much their stream of it, and they overlay with NBC. So pretty much Fox will not have how they broadcast, how they place cameras, anything. Fox will just carry all the races on TV, whereas IndyCar still controls the content and how it's produced, which I think is a great move. For IndyCar, obviously having every single race on Fox is going to be a big deal for the series as a whole. More big-time sponsors could come through. For Fox, you have the Daytona 500 in 25. You have the Super Bowl in 2025, and you have the Indianapolis 500 in 2025. So three of probably the biggest sporting events in the world on one network at a time. But I think what this really helps is the feeder series, Indy Next. Sorry, I keep saying NXT as well. But most of their races, I think a majority of them will be on FS1. FS2 will do supplement it depending on what time of year, because FS1 does baseball coverage and stuff like that and truck series races and so on and so forth. But for IndyCar to go on Fox is such a big deal. It's probably one of the biggest things that this sport has ever seen. And I see it as an overwhelming positive because everyone will be able to watch a race. It's unlike now where some people, you know, they can't watch races on USA Today. Some people don't want to pay money to watch it on Peacock because there is one race on Peacock this year. And that's an oval race, unfortunately, for some reason. But to me, this is a certified win for IndyCar. And I'm excited to see what Fox can bring the Indy 500 to new heights. It'll be a very, very interesting thing to see. But NBC has had such a good job. Now, who do you get in the booth? I have no idea. I hope, you know, they pull Lee Diffie, but he's probably stuck with NBC because he's their motorsports guy, especially for motocross. So I don't know who you get to fill the Fox booth for the Indianapolis 500 or the IndyCar season as a whole, but whoever they get, I hope they do a really good job. So I think I'm so excited to talk about it because this is such a big deal for the sport. And
I don't know why you don't have Mike Joy call the double remotely from someplace.
I think, you know, if you want the Indy 500, I think Mike Joy calling the Indy 500 would be one of the coolest things that you've ever seen.
Well, he won't be calling the Charlotte race that, because it's not going to be on Prime.
Oh, that's right. He'll be available. Yeah. Yes.
So I think Mike Joy, because he's such a motorsports aficionado, and he can sort of bring gravitas into the Indy 500 as the event, that prestigious event that it is, to have a special booth for the Indy 500 with Mike Joy leading the call. I think that'd be a pretty good booth, to be honest with you.
I could see it.
I know some say that Mike Joy is past his prime. I guess technically, of course, he is. But, I mean, he hasn't reached the point yet of real. I mean, it doesn't, in my estimation, my opinion, show yet in his broadcasting ability. So I think that he would be a perfect guy to lead that coverage. Of course, he's called so much motorsports over the years. He used to call Trans Am series back in the day in the 90s. I mean, he's just, again, such a, as you put it, Colin, such an aficionado. So it's good to know that you're excited about it. It is. It's really good to know that you're excited about it, because you're right. On social media, there's been a lot of people trying to make the top 10 tweets of the week in our Racing Refresh, because there's a lot of doom and gloom out there. So
it is helpful to know that it's not Fox's broadcast team kind of controlling the camera angles and all that stuff, that they're just carrying what is a Penske product, basically. I think that helps greatly.
So any final thoughts on that, Colin, before we move along to our weekend preview?
One more thing about the Indy five, all race broadcasts except the Indy 500, they get a 2.5 hour block to do it. So if there's rain that has to be postponed, it'll be moved to another date. The Indy 500 gets a 5 hour broadcast window for that event, but both rounds of qualifying, so actually setting the field and bump day, will be on Fox in its entirety, which I think is a huge deal. So looking ahead, this is going to be a fun, I hope Fox, you know, brings whoever the broadcast team is and all the supplementing stuff around that. I think if they bring this level of passion because they see it as a new toy, maybe this could bleed into their NASCAR coverage at the beginning of the year. Who knows? But I'm excited to see the future of Fox Sports Motorsports. I think they can bring IndyCar to new heights. I really do.
I have some faint optimism for Fox going forward. Remember, it's the start of a new contract, so maybe some of those details we've been complaining about were ironed out in some of the deals. We will have to wait and see as time goes on. But speaking of time going on, we're getting close. So it's time for our weekend preview.
Sure is.
Yeah. Oh, that neon.
She might have been eating another slice of pizza. All right. So the trucks are still off. They do return next week at Nashville. Xfinity Cup in New Hampshire. Of course, the USA Today 301 in New Hampshire. So we'll see how that goes. F1, Colin, with the Spanish Grand Prix. Any overarching thoughts on that?
Well, we've seen Ferrari have a kind of a disappointing weekend in Montreal, and they look to be bouncing back, hopefully. But Barcelona, when we come to this week in the Spanish Grand Prix, a lot of upgrades will be implemented this week. And this is the kickoff to a triple header before the summer vacation. You have back-to-back, you have Spain, Austria, and then the British Grand Prix at Silverstone. So I think Haas F1 is bringing some upgrades, McLaren is bringing upgrades, and unfortunately Red Bull is going to bring some upgrades as well. So that may not be a good look at the rest of the competition, but McLaren has kept it close this past couple of weeks, and McLaren has a threat to probably get a top two in the constructor standings. They probably won't win the constructor championship, but they'll get a top two. I'm going to say Lando Norris gets a win at Barcelona this weekend.
He thinks Lando is going to get it done. All right, IndyCar, Laguna Seca, this weekend. All right, Colin, give us some overarching thoughts on that. Any predictions?
Well, it's interesting because Laguna Seca has never been this early in the schedule in the past 10 years in any IndyCar season. So having it a prestigious race at Laguna Seca, the corkscrew is probably one of the most interesting corners on the entire IndyCar schedule going for pretty much the entire motorsports. The corkscrew is a three-story drop. It's the best corner, I think, in all of motorsports outside of Eau Rouge at Spa-Francorchamps. But give me Scott Dixon. He's been the hot hand so far this season, so he's probably going to go back-to-back in 2 weeks. So I think it'll be very fun. But unfortunately, this is the last race for the month of June. Until July 7th, we get in your neck of the woods, Logan, Honda Indy 200 at Mid-Ohio.
No, oh, not far, about an hour north of here, indeed. So not far at all. All righty, NHRA, they're in Richmond, Virginia. John Force Racing has been hot the last couple of weeks. They look to continue their domination, so we'll see how that goes for the founder and company. All righty, so time keeps on ticking into the future. So that means it's time for a Racing Refresh Picks. Did you like that, Adam? Give us an update on the score, please, sir.
Yeah, so we had you picked Daniel Suarez last week, which turned out to be the winning pick of the week. He came P9.
I said, damn, keep on slipping.
I tell you, I can't pick anything good to save my life these days. I had a strong start this season, but gone down the hill. So I picked Ryan Preece, who came 27th. We had Colin pick Chase Briscoe 28th, and Peyton, who we should bring in as well, producer Peggy, picked Ty Gibbs, who came 25th. But somehow 25th gets her a second place finish. I don't know. Doesn't seem fair, but here we are. So Colin, you get to pick first for New Hampshire.
See, it is the USA Today 301, and I am actually employed by USA Today, so I don't have a script. I don't have people say NASCAR is rigged. As a person who works for the company who's sponsoring the race, I don't have any of that information. I don't have any insider information to give you who's going to win. But I'll tell you, I'm seeing my score here. I'm in last place. I got to do something to get in the good graces of the motorsport gods. If a person's going to win this race, it's going to be someone with cojones, some brass balls. Just give me Ross Chastain.
All right. Next up is myself. I am going to take, oh boy, who am I going to take? I'm going to take Christopher Bell.
I was literally going to take him.
You're taking him to go back to back, right?
Yes. So, yep, producer Peggy, you're up next.
Now I have to rethink.
She can't take William Byron, right?
They're getting power coupled.
She's already taken William Byron, so.
No, Ryan Blaney.
She has not taken Blaney yet.
That's a stunner. Yes, I thought she took him week one.
No, she did. I lied.
I did take Blaney.
Yeah, sorry. Do you need your list?
I have a list.
Hey, if you get extra bonus points, can we, because I'm in the hole. Just extra one point. If you can guess who, every one of you gets one choice. And if you guys get it wrong, I get 1 point. And if you guys get it right, you get a point. Who holds the poll? Who holds the qualifying record for the NASCAR Cup Series at New Hampshire?
Christ, if I know.
It was set in the past 5 years.
There will be no bonus points given, but I'm okay with a little trivia while producer Peggy figures it out.
Is it Joey Logano?
No.
Damn.
Logan's out.
I can't think of someone who's been like dominating at New Hampshire, or at least in qualifying only.
He drives a Ford. Logan was
Kevin Harvick.
No. So Peggy's out. Come on, Adam. No Google.
Brad Keselowski.
You son of a bitch.
Oh, really? I didn't. No, I didn't.
I was golden.
You just said Ford. I was trying to think of who
would have been the best stuff for the 100 episodes.
Brad Keselowski has a 29.862. That's the qualifying record.
There you go. He's got a good average finish at New Hampshire, but there you go. Who you got, producer Peggy?
I'm gonna take Chase Briscoe.
Ah, the future number 19 driver.
Allegedly.
Logan, allegedly. Who you got?
I'll take, he's been building some momentum the last couple of weeks. He can't get off the schneid win-wise, but I'll take Alex Bowman in the 48.
All righty. There you have it. We will find out next week. Hopefully, my pick does better this time. I'm so upset I wasted my Truex pick at Sonoma. I thought it was a good go there, and he runs out of gas on the last lap.
Hey, at least he crossed the line.
Oh man, did you see
under his own power?
Did you see the crowd cheering him on?
That was the moment Martin Truex is like, you know what? I've had enough of this shit.
I'm fucking... that week was it. He was
I'm getting across with the starter motor. This bullshit.
Yeah, that was it right there. He says he's known for a couple of weeks. No, he made that decision when you were.
I'd rather be on my fucking boat and push this car across the line.
Did they show on the TV broadcast him crossing the line and the crowd cheering for him?
Yeah, it was good.
I mean,
surprised Fox even showed it, to be honest.
Yeah, the race was over at that point.
Because they didn't show, they showed Ross Chastain wrecking somebody, but they didn't really show the
full Bush, replay.
Yeah. You had to go on Twitter, and then Ross Chastain got punted by Chase Elliott, and you didn't see that on the broadcast either. So, yeah, you know, good riddance, Fox. Good.
Yeah.
You only get 10 events next year.
That's right.
Hope you don't screw up in 10 events.
You know, that was the moment that he knew. You know, I might be back somewhat next year, but by the time Sonoma hits, I'm going to sit on a boat.
He could have ran across the start-finish line, and he could have gotten there faster.
He, like Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights.
Like Carl Edwards at Talladega in real life.
Yeah. All right. So with that, look, it's been a great 50th episode, and with every great episode, though, it must come to an end. So that means it's time, ladies and gentlemen, for closing time. That's right, ladies and germs. You don't have to get off the internet, but you can't stay at this particular link. It's time for closing time. That is where any of the dais has the floor to... Usually it's NASCAR conversation, but other times it can be whatever you want to talk about. So with that, we're going to start with Adam Carabine. Final words.
Yeah. I guess my final words are, you know, congratulations to Martin Truex Jr. on a great career. And
it's not sad, over yet.
I know. But just, you know, we're feeling retrospective here because he announced it this week. So
when you say that, Phoenix, I'll say you already ruined it.
Don't interrupt the man's words.
That's right.
Yeah, there's final words, you dick.
My name is not Richard. It's Logan Morris.
Well, I don't know. That's all I got. It's been lovely to see you all. I was away last week too, so it's good to have the gang back. And happy 50th to you all. It's been fun putting this on, and let's keep it going. So good to see you all.
Colin Best, you made your return to Racing Refresh Happy Hour this evening for the 50th special. Final words.
You know, I was just glad to be here. You know, I'm just, you know, sometimes, you know, you got to stay humble. So you got to stay with the grind. You know, I'd like to thank my sponsors. I'd like to thank Pepsi for making this all happen. I'm just looking at my desk to see what I have. I have a bottle of ranch for some fucking reason. I also have a Coke Zero bottle for some reason because I'm not brand loyal. Also have some of these Zapp's potato chips here from Louisiana, the kettle cooked. God, what else? Who else can we get money from?
We're not getting money from any of them.
I have a Canon camera here. I have a Gatorade. What else? I have a cup. That's cool too. Also, I want to shout out Pizza Hut, the Hut Box. You know what I'm saying? Get your My Hut Box for only $6.99 at Pizza Hut. Get a personal pan pizza, and you know,
gold.
What else do I got here? Oh, hold on. I got these as a joke. Because I was off for so long. Adam, you'll love this.
Okay.
What is that?
Oh, it's a Canadian flag.
Canadian flag.
Very nice.
A little bit of Canada down here in southern Florida, northwest Florida. You know, we're back, baby. We're back. I got a Canadian flag. I have so many. I just wanted one. But Amazon sent me a pack of 12, right? So I've been placing these in like neighbors' yards for some fucking reason. Just for no reason. Just here's a Canadian flag. Here you go. And yeah, it's nice to have a lot of Canadian pride in my neighborhood for some reason. No one's removed them. No one's touched them. They're still there. But
we're just claiming Canada. Land down there. That's what we're doing. We're just putting our flag down.
I hope my mom's not watching this. But anyway, you know, Pizza Hut, Burger King. There's a Burger King bag below me, too. You know, what else can I have? Moza Racing. You know, have your iRacing stuff. I got something else, too. Well, I got a Denny Hamlin car. Where is it? I got a Denny Hamlin. Whatever. Yeah, it's a,
let's let the others have their turn there, Colin.
It's wonderful to have you back, Mr. Best. Producer Peggy, final words.
My final words are believe in yourself and Ryan Blaney. And when you believe in Ryan Blaney, you find his hat at the thrift store.
Very nice.
Yeah, it's so nice.
That's been
Logan, bring us home. Bring us home, Logan, before we crash and burn.
All right. So with that, we want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in this evening and every other week for that matter. 50 episodes, and I'm proud to be a part of it. Thankful to be a part of it. In all seriousness, I do think we got 50 more. I think we got a lot more than 50 more. We're all pretty committed to this thing.
Pizza Hut, sponsor me.
I don't know. After the way this has ended here, I'm not. We'll be lucky to get 10 more. We're
back. We'll look forward to it. Colin, great to have you back. Producer Peggy, thanks for making wonderful graphics and producing us each and every week. Adam, thanks for being the show creator and keeping us on board and making a lot happen. I've been up your keister this week with Racing Refresh related things, so thank you so much. It's been absolutely wonderful. Hold on, can't leave yet. We have a very special comment. Adam, I'm going to let you read that one.
It's from someone that says Sheila Sharma, happy 50th, y'all.
Who that is?
That might be my partner in crime, my significant other.
Oh, I got one of these Canadian flags. So she thinks she wants one.
Yeah, if you can send one up here. To be honest, I'm sure we could find one. There's probably some.
I don't have a gag.
This was $13.
$13. Hey, that's $13. That's a good deal.
All right. So with that, Sheila, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tolerating our boy here. He's a lovely, lovely, handsome fella.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, we're already 6 minutes over.
Okay, so I'll make it quick. Yep. I wanted to thank. It's over there. No, wrong way.
Okay.
You can't. Well, you can kind of see it. What's going on? It's right there.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Blaney's championship diecast. I wanted to thank the Heat League I race with, which includes Logan and Adam. They got it for me for Christmas, and it just got here.
It finally arrived.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam had to convert some Canadian money.
Sure did.
All right. So now that's wonderful. We're glad you had it. Final question, then I'm gonna bring us home. Peggy, are you getting the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol diecast?
I don't know.
Stop saying the sponsor name. We don't get paid by Iowa Corn.
Meanwhile, you're over here shucking Pizza Hut and Burger King. Easy, pal.
Yeah, because right. That's easy.
Shucking.
Nice. Shucking.
All right. Wrap it up.
With that, it's been an absolute pleasure. I've enjoyed the first 50 episodes. I look forward to the next 50 episodes. I consider you all each a wonderful blessing. Thank you to Matt Nicholson, Freddie, Ryan, Sheila, and anyone else that may have tuned in. Ryan Hill at some point this evening. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We'll see you right here. Same bat time, same bat channel. And until then, enjoy New Hampshire, and we'll see you at the next track.